Iron Ore continued its drop after last week, and the $116 to $118 levels look far. Has anything fundamentally changed into these markets? Hao Pei gives us his analysis and tells us what we could expect in the near future. In the freight market, it looks like that the story is different from the last few weeks. Ben Klang from our Copenhagen office gives us the main takeaway of a rather choppy week in FFAs. And last but not least, Archie Smith looks at the latest development in the oil market and what some key data releases mean for it. All this and more in our episode of Freight Up.
Freight Up!
Hello and welcome back to Freight Up. My name is Davide and I will be your host as we navigate the seas of freight and commodities. Fernanda can't be with us this week, but we shall still sail on this week's episode. We will start with our usual roundup of the latest commodity news, and then we will be joined by Hao Pei on iron ore, Ben Klang for dry freight, and Archie Smith on fuel oil. So first this week, let's have a look at our macro news. China's consumer price rose by 0.7% year-on-year in February. This was above the market forecast of 0.3%, probably due to the robust spending during the Lunar New Year holiday. US employment rate increased by 0.2% to 3.9% in February, hitting the highest level since January 2022 and surpassing market expectations of 3.7%. While still we're looking at the US, inflation remains stable at 3.1% in February, and core inflation, which excludes the volatile items such as food and energy, stood at 3.9%, higher than the consensus at 3.7%. Now, before we get into the details of our major commodity markets, let's take a look at the broad market movements for this week. Freight indices have taken a bit of a breather this week. After that big move on the Capes that we have talked about in last week's episode, things are a little bit more stable on a week-on-week from last Tuesday, the 5th of March, to yesterday, Tuesday, the 12th. The Cape 5TC index settled at $33,939, marginally down on last week, while P5TC index was up 7.97% at $17,537, Supramax 10TC around flat at $14,363, and Handy 7TC was up 1.6% at $13,786. Iron ore continues to slide, dropping from 117.25 to $110.30. More on that later in the episode with Hao. On the fuel oil side, we have a divergence between the high sulfur and the 0.5% fuel oil. Sing 380 up 3.2% at $450.51, while Sing 05 went down 0.6% to $612.07. On the US HRC index, we have seen it going up this week $15 and it has reached $800. And now let's talk about iron ore with Hao Pei. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, David?
Not too bad. So let's dive in with iron ore here. I see that the index has dropped by 7.94% during the report week. So can you tell us what happened to this market? Is there any indicator change on the fundamental side?
Iron ore maintained stable for most of the time last week, but started to tank over Friday night. The major fundamental change were the fast stock up on the port inventories in China versus a very slow production on pig iron. The pig iron production is 7% lower than past year, while iron ore import topped by 8.2% higher for the first 2 months in China. And market analysts expected a slight higher number in March as well. So that is to say, those information proved an oversupply condition for iron ore in short run. And in addition, the lack of news policies during China political bureau became another reason as well. So we heard some of the mills started to extend the maintenance to avoid further loss. So I think those are all contributors to lead a sharp drop of iron ore price.
How, as a follow-up question, in your opinion, what will be the signs that we should look for in the for the case of like a reversal of the iron ore market?
There's a lot of brokers and clients were talk about what should be the clear sign to see a market reversal. Well, I think that first of all, a lot of us has mentioned the flat structure. The structure of the spread level is going down to 5th percentile, which is an extreme low level. It's both in SGL to DCE market. So when the structure moves flat, it naturally means a lot of buyers trying to shift their demands to further months, but they still believe the market is going to recover in mid run, I don't know, or long run. So I think flat structure would be a recovery sign. What would be the first sign of recovery? And the other is we have to see the demand recovery is became faster than the same period of last year. Say the pig iron production is going to be higher. Is it going to be faster than the same time over last March? And we need to see those figures. And moreover, we probably need to see a slight come off on the shipment from Australia. But unfortunately, I don't think any of the macro factors would become positive drivers for iron ore market. This iron ore market is becoming less sensitive to delivery policies or news at the current period of time.
So we will just like have to wait and see how the market unfolds. And then if in the near future, there's going to be any dramatic change.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Hao. Your analysis has been fantastic and precious as always. Now let's talk about dry freight with Ben Klang. Hi, Ben. How's the weather in Copenhagen?
Hi, David. Yes, to be fair, it could change quickly, but right now it's like 50 shades of gray.
Well, I mean, like also here in London, the weather is not that great, but you've mentioned a word, an important word, change, because also getting into the dry freight now, when we spoke the last time, you know, there were some big moves in the Cape market, but what is your take on the week that has just passed? It seems a different story, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's been actually quite different to the story we talked about the last few weeks. As you said, last week, we outlined a 29% week-on-week increase on the Cape 5TC index, with this positivity helping support indexes across the dry freight market. You know, and if you look at the week-on-week indexes, you know, going from Tuesday to Tuesday, movement has been less dramatic, and even a slight drop on the Cape index. Alter the Cape index did peak at 35,780 on Monday. And, you know, the backdrop was that the Cape iron ore shipments slipped 11.7% from the previous strong week to 26.6 million tons. Similarly, coal shipments via Capesize vessels saw a 5.6% dip to 6.8 million tons. However, on the minor bulk volumes, we saw gain at 7.2% to just above 4 million tons. And it's also worth mentioning that although the situation in the Red Sea still looks very precarious, in the Panama Canal, increased rainfall has actually increased the slots, as many hope that this situation will continue to improve.
I see. Okay. And what about the FFA market instead? Has this followed the indexes in your opinion?
Well, so despite our reported flatter week-on-week index changes, we have had a choppy week on the FFA, especially on the Capes. The main market action we've seen was focused, you know, naturally on March, April, Q2, Q3, Q4, and the Cal 5 contracts. On the Cape, the physical market concluded the week on a firm note, buoyant by an increased fixture rate in both regions and expectations of higher tonnage demands, which resulted in firmer FFA prices. You know, on Friday morning, we saw March and April trade respectively 35,500 and 37,250, with March trading up to a 36,750 high. On the Panamax and the Supramaxes, they moved in an opposite direction with a bit of an increase on the Panamaxes, while the Supras actually moved south. On the Panamaxes, we now have on the P4TC March rates at 16,900, having been 15,550 at the time of the last podcast. Q3 is up to 16,700 from 15,375. And finally, the Cal 25 at 13,450, moving up across the last week from 13,125. Conversely, Supra March contract is now trading at 14,875, and that's down from 15,250 at the time of the last podcast. Q3 are relatively flat at around 14,875, and the Cal 25 at 12,725, which is marginally down on the week.
Okay. And in terms of volumes, it looks to me that the week has been quite positive.
Another good week. Mm-hmm. And again, we saw the big star Cape lead the way with the daily trading volume surpassing 10,000 lots on Thursday. On average, Cape and Panamax's futures traded around 7,310 lots and 4,950 lots per day, respectively. And also, if you look at open interest, that increased across all contracts as traders extended their positions for the further out contracts. On Monday, Cape TC open interest stood at 175,039, which is up 760 week on week. On the Panamax's 4TC, it was 177,911. That's a plus 2,070 week on week. And on the Supra's 10TC, at 84,800, and that's plus 1,000 week on week. Panamax open interest ticked up along with the rising futures prices, which is indicating an upward momentum.
Ben, thank you very much for your update, and thank you very much for joining us this week again.
Thank you, Davide.
And now let's talk fuel oil with Archie Smith. Archie, thank you very much for joining us again today. We had some important data releases. We had the US CPI and also the OPEC monthly report. Can you tell us a little bit what kind of impact they had on the market?
These are important pieces of data that the oil market participants were always kind of looking out for. That being said, when it came out yesterday, we were actually quite sideways. I mean, the crude future was quite sideways, pretty flat. This was because the CPI data was actually firmer than expected. The OPEC market report kind of kept a lot of the things fairly the same. I do have some actual kind of numbers and figures here. So yeah, in the OPEC report, the 2025 demand growth forecast, it was kept at 1.8 million barrels per day. The only thing that they did change slightly was the non-OPEC supply growth forecast. They brought that down 100,000 barrels per day to 1.2 million barrels per day. So, you know, kind of looking at that, I think it's important to bear in mind, you know, when OPEC monthly reports come out, naturally they're going to be quite bullish because that's where OPEC want oil to be going.
Mm-hmm.
And then with regards to the CPI, I think it kind of stayed at 0.4%. The core CPI stayed at 0.4% month on month, which initially it did unwind some of the Fed rate cut premium. However, when a closer look was taken at some of the unrounded numbers and a slower super core month-on-month inflation, that kind of reversed the move to leave it pretty sideways on the day. So yeah, not really much to report on there. And then actually since then, talking of data releases, we had late last night, we had the API data release, which showed a drawback in US crude stockpiles of about 5 million barrels, which has offered some support to the market this morning. I think crude's up about 70 cents on the day. But I think what the market's got to look out for is later today, the EIA data that comes out. If that also shows a drawback in US crude stockpiles, then we could certainly see a boost to the market. And if that does confirm the drawback, then I think that'd be the first drawback in about 5 or 6 weeks after constant US crude stock builds.
Data dependency is the key word here. And I have another question for you. So
sure.
The front month HSFOEW has been really volatile this month. So maybe you can tell us a little bit what's happening there. Is that a rally? Why is there a rally there?
It's very kind of important to realize that even when we do see some stability and kind of range bound nature in the crude market, that doesn't necessarily always relate to the fuel market. So you've mentioned there the front month high sulfur fuel oil east west. That is up. I mean, it's up about $15 since the start of the month. So the high sulfur fuel oil east-west, for those listeners who are unfamiliar with the contract, is an east-west differential. So it's basically the difference in price between the high sulfur Singapore grade, or also known as the Singapore 380, against the high sulfur European grade, also known as the Rotterdam 3.5% barges. And when that differential contract is in a positive figure, which it is at the moment, that means that the Singapore stuff is trading at a premium to the European stuff. So at the minute, that premium is about $8. But I mean, you know, like I said at the beginning of the month, that was actually negative. So the European stuff was more expensive by about $7. And it's been about $15 change in that time period, which is, I mean, that contract is notoriously quite volatile. What's been happening, we've seen a lot of support come from Asian buying, not only in the Singapore closing windows every day, but also in the late Chinese arbitrage session, which happens around midnight in China. But in London time, it runs from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And this is, well, like I said, it's a lot of arbitrage trading. And we've seen Shanghai predominantly buyers of the Asian grade during these windows. So hence offering a lot of support in price to the Singapore 380 and therefore kind of surpassing the barges and trading at a premium. I think we've also can be reflected in the 380 crack, which from the end of last week is up about $2.50. Last trading about minus 950 in the market. Whereas the European equivalent, the high sulfur European crack, is up about 70 cents in the same time period from the back end of last week. And that last traded at -$11 per barrel in the market. Don't let a kind of range bound crude market fool you. Fuel is still definitely chopping about and very volatile as always.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is one of the most volatile markets that we know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Archie, thank you very much. I think that like we should do that again next week if you're available,
Sounds
or maybe
good.
The week after.
Sounds
and
good.
We can keep
and
an eye.
A week after that. And a week after that.
And then we can keep an eye on these markets and then keep our listeners up to date with the latest development. So,
for
Archie
sure.
Smith, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. And that is it for this week. Make sure to subscribe by clicking on the subscribe button on whatever platform you get your podcast from. Also, make sure to follow us on LinkedIn and get signed to our app, FIS Live, to make sure that you never miss any freight and commodity analysis from us at Freight Investor Services. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope to see you again in our next episode of Freight Up. Bye-bye. Freight Up.